Hey guys, welcome back to the Eco Fitness Podcast, helping you create healthy, sustainable lifestyle habits. My name is Karina Duffy and I am the founder of Eco Fitness. So during this podcast, I thought it'd be really relevant to talk about exercise tips to help reduce your metabolic age. Because it's obviously January 23 when I'm recording this, it's the beginning of the new year. I have a lot of new members, both online and in person, and sure, the internet and social media is just all covered with how the best fat loss exercises and the best diets, so on and so forth. And everybody's talking about reducing fat and everybody's talking about reducing weight. But I want to reframe it and let's talk about reducing your metabolic age. Because what I've noticed with some new members coming into my system, both on person and online, and this used to be me, by the way, so I'm not pinpointing or finger pointing at anybody. This used to be me as an old personal trainer with obviously knowledge is key, and I'm at this since 2009. So like I've grown a lot over the years and learned a lot and so on and so forth. So what I'm trying to say is I see a lot of people, new people coming into me, and they look like they're punishing their body during exercise, because it's like as if they're like, if I sweat more, I lose more body fat. And that used to be me. And that's such a negative relationship to have with exercise. If you have that relationship with exercise, that you're coming into a workout to punish yourself and to go as hard as you can go because you want to sweat as hard as you can sweat, because the more you sweat, the more body fat you're going to lose. Let me tell you now that you are actually going to decrease your metabolic age, which means you are going to do injustice to your bone health, your muscle health, your nervous system by approaching exercise in that way. And I can guarantee you, if you're approaching exercise in that negative punishing way, you're probably approaching your nutrition in that negative punishing way as well, of reducing calories and not eating and then binging, and you know how the story goes. That feedback loop, negative feedback loop, is just on replay. So if you're that person and you can resonate with what I just said there, how you reduce your metabolic age, as in if you're 50 now and you go into a DEXA scan, or you hop on one of those fancy scales like I have that tells you your metabolic age and all that jazz. And if you're 50 and your metabolic age is showing up at 65, there's a few things happening here. Your body fat's high, your muscle mass is low, and your visceral fat around your organs is probably high, and your bone density is probably low. And that's how you're getting an age rate of 65 and you're only 50. How I teach my clients to reduce their metabolic age is do appropriate exercise to suit where you're at right now in your particular lifestyle and age bracket, as in I'm 40 now, 41 this year, and I encourage my younger clients to also do the same, and it's never too late to start. I'm encouraging my clients to look after their bone health through compound movement exercises, not doing lots and lots of cardio and lots of HIIT training, because that doesn't work anymore. Teaching my clients to do slow, mindful movement with resistance training with dumbbells or their own body weight, or if they're in the studio with me, we're doing barbells and machines and whatever we have here. But it's slow movement, connecting with the muscle group they should be connecting with, stretching and looking at flexibility and releasing tight muscle groups with like some sort of some foam rolling techniques and stuff like that. And also looking after their cardiovascular system by getting them to walk every day for 15 minutes, and even at the weekend, go for a longer walk, look for hills, pick up the pace, build up your lung strength as well. That's how you reduce your metabolic age. So I'm 40, 41 this year. And if I have this right, I think my metabolic age is 23. I was like, what? That's going by the scales anyway. So I'm going to do a full DEXA scan this year or this month. It's on my goal to book it in this month. And I'm going to do one every 2 years. And what I'm going to ask for is a DEXA scan to check my bone health, but also my body composition, because I want to make sure that everything's kept tip top shape. And that's what I would recommend for anybody, is you're looking to reduce your metabolic age. And how you do that is with the correct exercise program for you of where you're at right now, as in going into hormonal changes, going into 40 plus onwards, where muscle loss happens and all that jazz. This is what I want to teach my clients. And this How we do this is we slow down, we do slow controlled movements, we work on strength with body weight and dumbbells, again, slow controlled movement, getting into the exercise from a mindset point of view of what should I be feeling. You won't be able to do that if you're doing HIIT training. You won't be able to do that if you're punishing yourself during exercises of push out as much reps as you can. You won't be able to get the mind to muscle connection and keep it there and put time on tension if you're in a circuit CrossFit style scenario where you're belting out as much reps as you can and just killing yourself. You won't get that. So during this podcast, I hopefully will be able to change your mind when it comes to choosing an exercise program that suits you, and your 8-year-old self will thank you for in your later years. So the reason I'm recording this podcast now is because I've had a lot of new members start with me this year. We are now January 2023, if you're listening back to this in a later time. And I have witnessed a lot of members online and both in person coming into a group exercise class scenario where I wouldn't have done a bit of work with them one-to-one and kind of went through the process of showing them mind-to-muscle connection, what muscle groups are you working, what muscle groups are weak, what muscle groups are overactive, what muscle groups may cause an injury down the line. If I didn't have a chance to work with this person one-to-one and they're coming into a group class scenario, I'm noticing, and if this is you, members are coming in and I can see the aggression and the kind of the all or nothing approach in their faces and in the way they move during the exercise. And that is the old way of exercising in our 20s and our early 30s. I used to do this as a fitness instructor. When I used to teach a class, I used to game on, a press play, Karina is on, Karina is in work mode. And I used to give 100% of my energy, jumping around the place like a lunatic, as if my knee joints were like bouncing castles, and jumping around, not really getting the mind to muscle connection, doing lots of cardio workouts. Even when I was doing weight training sessions, I wasn't really connecting, and I'm putting my hands up here as a personal trainer, I wasn't really connecting with the muscle group I should be using from a mind to muscle connection, as in really slowing down the movement with the exercise, i.e. a squat, for instance. Everybody knows what a squat is. Slowing down the movement with a squat and actually wondering, where am I actually meant to feel this movement from a muscle point of view? Because at the moment, I'm feeling it on my knees and I'm feeling it along my IT bands, which is that big, thick muscle from the knee to the hip joint at the outside of your leg, which is there to help you with agility and stop you falling over. But it can get really sore and overactive if our glute muscles are weak, which can pull on our knee joint, and we can associate having weak glutes with knee pain and knee joint pain. So during this podcast, I kind of want to give you just a little bit, a few tips and tricks of how you can get the best out of your workout routine, especially if it's resistance training like body weight or dumbbells, or even if you decide to use barbells or whatever, how to get the best out of each exercise so you can effectively work each muscle group with each exercise that you do 10 times harder for less time and less effort. And that's the key. Less time and less effort. And hopefully after this podcast and listen to this podcast, you will get a better understanding that exercise is meant to be prescriptive, functional medicine, really, for your body, to help you build stronger bones, a stronger muscular system, and to help protect your joints. If your bones, if your muscles are working correctly and firing up correctly, all muscle groups, which I'll talk about now in a minute, and we do compound exercises like walking and weight training, we're going to build up stronger bones. By building up stronger muscle groups and building up stronger bones, we're taking the pressure off our joints muscles, i.e. our ankles, our knees, our hips, our neck, our lower back, our tailbones. If you suffer from neck pain, and if you suffer, now I'm saying muscular, there's two types of neck pain, there's two types of hip pain, there's two types of knee pain. There could be actual physical muscle pain from just always being on and fatigued, and there's actually wear and tear within the joints there's two different things, but I'll go through them. But during this podcast, we're talking about muscle health and bone health and how exercising can build up optimum health in those two areas. So you, when you're 80 years of age, you can tie your own shoelaces, you can wipe your own bum, you can dress yourself, you won't need a Zimmer frame, and you can spend your hard-earned pension money on holidays, maybe yoga retreats, or maybe fitness retreats, and that you're not spending your hard-earned pension money paying carers to care for you, to cook for you, to shower you, to put on your shoes and to dress you, and to wipe your bum, or to change your nappy. That's what we're trying to avoid here. And this is my long-term goal for as long as I'm living on this earth, is to help people become and live and continue being the healthiest, happiest versions of themselves in a nice, slow, consistent manner, without pressing the panic button or without punishing yourself with really restrictive diets and punishing yourself with exercise. Exercise, again, is should be a prescriptive tool for you to perform, to help build yourself up, not knock yourself down. And food is the same. Food should be functional food, functional nutrition, just like medicine, that when you eat and when you decide to make a breakfast, lunch or dinner or bring snacks to work, that around 80%, let's give you a bit of leeway, that if you're going out for work lunch or if you're having a scone on a Friday or if you're having a few drinks out after work or if you're on the plane and you're traveling for work and you just don't have that control, unless you bring some snacks with you like protein bars and stuff like that, and you have to eat what's there, well then give yourself that leeway. You're making the best decision within the decision. But 80% of the time, we should be looking at nutrition as functional nutrition that's feeding us and building us up and not tearing us down. When it comes to exercise, we should be looking at exercise for functional exercise of building up weak muscle groups, not putting more wear and tear on the body, and that your 80-year-old self is looking at you right now, going, high five to you, because this is what we need. So first of all, let's get into the chunky part of the podcast. So what are we going to talk about during this podcast? Muscle and bone conditions in older age. I'm 40 now, I'm 41 in April. And look, I wasn't talking about this in my early 20s. I wasn't talking about this in my early 30s either. I have been doing, conducting fitness and teaching people how to do within fitness classes and personal training since 2010. Before that, actually, 2009. Was I thinking about this back then? Absolutely not, because I was fired up, full of juice, full of energy, full of drive, and I was giving the best of my energy to my clients back then because that's what I thought was the right thing to do. With lots of education, lots of growing, and lots of seminars, and lots of digging deep into audiobooks and podcasts, and I don't watch TV. Anyone that knows me knows I rarely watch TV. When people are watching TV, I'm listening to audiobooks and podcasts and YouTube videos from the best out there, from Stanford scientists and the medical field there who share their knowledge. I'm knee deep listening to that stuff right now because knowledge is key. So I want to pass that on to you guys. And if I knew this in my early 20s and my early 30s, I probably would have taken it on board because I was in the learning phase all the time, and I definitely would have passed it on to my clients. But again, because I'm coming into this age bracket of my body, I want to mind it. I want to, my second half of my life, I want to live it to my fullest. And I don't want to be relying on my kids, and I don't want to be relying on a carer to keep me well, because I feel like the first half of my life was pretty much learning and learning lessons, some of them not so good lessons. So I want the second half of my life to be pretty good. And I know a lot of my clients listening to this are working really hard. They have great careers, and I know that they're pumping into a pension fund, and I want these clients to really enjoy their pension fund because they've already given so much to the world in their career. I want them to enjoy the second half of their life, to enjoy their pension and enjoy their time out with the best possible energized, flexible, strong body that they can possibly have, so they can live their fullest life to the end. And that's my job. Anyway, what we're going to talk about, muscle and bone conditions in older years, age-related changes in muscle, which is important because you need to match your exercise routine to the changes of your muscle as we go along from 40, 50, 60. Age-related changes in joints, which is very important because the last thing I want to do is have a client who has weak glutes really feeling the pressure on their quads, which is the muscle at the front of the leg and the knees, And I'm not going to have them doing burpees because that's not building them up. That's tearing them down even more. I'm not going to put them doing a plank and standing on their back going, come on, 10 more reps. No, that day's gone. Physical, I never did that anyway because that's just wrong in all levels. We're not an army. Physical exercise, how physical exercise can help as well, and things to remember when you are exercising. That's what we're going to cover today. So first of all, some age-related changes such as wrinkles and grey hairs. We all have them. I found a grey hair in my eyebrow the last day, and I said to my daughter, oh my God, when I hit 40, I found a grey hair in my eyebrow. Now, I dye my hair blonde. I probably have grey hair in my head, for a long time. I just didn't notice when I found my first grey hair in my eyebrow. Damn it, here we go. We're changing. So some age-related changes like wrinkles and grey hair are inevitable, and we can physically see them. It was once thought that changes to muscles, bone and joints were unavoidable too. However, researchers now suggest that many factors associated with aging are due to inactivity, and that performing physical activity can help reduce or reverse the risk of disability and chronic disease. So inactivity causes a lot of disease in our older years. Inactivity. At least half the age-related changes to muscle, bone and joints are caused by disuse. So if you're sitting down at a desk, listen to this, and you're not moving and you're not exercising and you have the best intention in the world to move, but you're not doing anything, what are you setting yourself up for in your retirement years? Will you be able to fully enjoy your retirement, your pension age that you've worked so hard to get to pump into and to enjoy? Will you actually get to enjoy it? And there is research out there now as well that from the age of 60 onwards, especially over the age of 65, if you fall and break a hip, you have a 50-50 chance of survival within the next 12 months. Now, if you work and give everything that you possibly have into the world and your career, and give all your knowledge to the world and give all your knowledge to the job, which is pretty amazing because that's what you were put on this planet for. I really do believe that. Everybody has a skill, regardless of how where in the ladder that skill is. Everyone was put on this planet to have a skill to make the world a better place. And my thing is, if you get to 65 and you're at retirement age and now it's time to start enjoying your pension and start enjoying your life, but you're not able to do that, and you leave that office, and that day that you leave that office and close that door, you're like, wow, what am I going to do now? Damn it. And you're like, you've no fitness built up, you've no fitness routine built up, you've no community built up outside of your corporate world. And I really do believe that everybody should have a community within work, outside of work, within your family, a fitness community, a health community, a hiking community. I believe that everybody should have a different community for different areas of their life, based off the wheel of health, which is work, fun, social, financial. Everybody should have a community for financial as well, and have somebody, a coach, to tip in and out of there to help you with your financial as well. You should have a fitness community, health and fitness community, which includes nutrition, your fun community, and your family. They're all the different communities that you should have your toe at least dipped into, coming into 40, 50, 60. So when you close that door and you leave your job, you have communities that you already have created and you're already involved in, that you're like, hey, do you want to go for a hike? Because I'm feeling great. Yeah, I've been doing my workouts, I've been doing my glutes. So recent studies also show that fewer than one, and this is in Australia, that 1 in 10 Australians over the age of 50 years do not exercise to improve or maintain cardiovascular fitness, which is really important. It's really important. So during the message I want to get across here is, if you're starting a new exercise routine, this is my whole message, and I'll go in a bit deeper in it now in the podcast. If you're starting a new exercise routine, and if you're coming from the space of jumping around the place, doing loads of cardio, doing loads of burpees, doing loads of HIIT, like jumping up and down, crazy stuff, jumping off boxes, jumping on boxes, doing CrossFit and all that, which is nothing wrong with it. But you get to a certain point of your life and a certain age of your life where you have to look at things differently and go, I need to train differently. I need to move differently because my body's changing. My muscles are getting tighter. They're shrinking. I'm not repairing back. I'm losing muscle fibers. From the age of 40 onwards, for 35 onwards, you slowly lose muscle fibers. And that accelerates from 65 onwards. If you're losing muscle fibers and your recovery, your cell recovery from after a workout is slowing down, you know, what's that going to do in your later years? If your muscle fibers are reducing, and shrinking, they're going to pull on your joints. You're going to start to get joint pain. You're going to start to feel like you're humping over, especially if you work at a desk. Your chest starts to get tight because you're constantly leaning over. Your back gets sore. You start to get bulging discs. Things just start to break down, is what I'm trying to say. You need to start looking at moving your body differently for a better outcome. As in, will this exercise I do now support a better version of me tomorrow, a better version of me next year, a better, stronger version and flexible version of me when I'm 80? If the answer is no, don't do it. So my no-nos now when it comes to exercise is, my no-nos is like doing all HIIT classes and all cardio sessions. That's a big no-no for me. What I prescribe now to my clients, especially from 35, 40 onwards and later, is definitely look after your strength. Do some sort of strength exercises, be it body weight or dumbbells. Do some sort of flexibility, be it yoga or stretching and a little bit of foam rolling. Do something for your cardiovascular system, which is hiking, walking, maybe the odd jog. Like, I have clients who are 60 and jog and row because they have built themselves up to that point where they can, because they've listened to their body. They know what muscle groups were overactive, what muscle groups were weak. They built up the weak muscle groups with my guidance. They relaxed the overactive muscle groups. They corrected their posture, and we built them up to that point where they're running on top of weight training, on top of flexibility. The big no-nos is loads of HIIT training. Loads of HIIT training and going really, really, really fast during an exercise session. If you're powering through a particular exercise like a squat and you're going really fast, I would say to you is you're working your joints, not your muscle groups. We need to get mind to muscle connection during the workout. And this is why. Mind to muscle connection is, if I'm doing a squat, what muscle group am I actually working? If you're feeling the quads too much in your knee, that's an indication that the back half of your body is really weak. The back of your body is really, really weak. As in, your hamstrings could be weak, your glutes could be weak, your shoulder blades could be weak, especially if you have a desk-related job. Usually anyone at a desk job, the back of the body is normally weak and the front of the body is normally overactive. Then you start doing squats, you're overactivating the front of your body even more because you're not getting the mind-to-muscle connection of trying to work the back of the muscle groups, which is your glutes and your hamstrings. And that requires you to slow down, visualize what muscle group you are working, and try bring your mind to the nerve endings of that muscle group that you're working, because we are ran by our nervous system. Our muscles twitch by our nervous system. And if our nervous system is more activated in the front of the body with the quads and around the knee joints and the chest, just from working at a desk job or feeding a baby or lifting babies, everything's always forward facing. Well, then I can guarantee you that the nerve endings down along the back of the posterior chain are a little bit weak, except for the lower back, because desk jobs, the lower back, there's a lot of nerve endings there. They can get quite overactive and cause a little bit of pain there. But generally the glutes and the hamstrings, the calves and the shoulder blades are generally weak. The nerve endings need a bit of work. To work the nerve endings, we need to visualize what muscle group we're working during the particular exercise. Breathe slowly into that muscle group and really visualize energy going to that muscle group. I.e., if you're in a squat position, your legs are hip width wide, your knees are slightly out, you're sitting back into your heels, you're popping back your bum as if you're trying to close a door with your bum or pop your bum back towards a wall. My analogy is that you're a golf ball behind you and you're trying to go down a 90 degree angle, open up your butt cheeks, try hoover up that golf ball with your butt cheeks, lift that golf ball up with your butt cheeks and slowly release that golf ball down. That is usually a great visual that I use for my clients to get them into work and into the glutes. We do that then, the more times we visualize and feel the correct muscle groups working, i.e. the glutes and the hamstrings, which is the muscles at the back of the legs during a squat position, which does take about 10 times of doing the exercise slowly for a client to actually feel their glutes. But once we make that connection with the nerve ending and we keep visualizing those glutes working during the squat process every time we do a squat, what's happening is you're deepening the neural path in your brain down to that nerve ending in the glute, that eventually, the more times you visualize working the glutes and getting that mind to muscle connection by going slow and controlled during a particular exercise, the more you deepen that neural path in your brain, that you, it clicks in quicker, that after a while you won't even need to think about it. You won't even need to think about what muscle group is turning on during a particular exercise, because you've done the mind to muscle connection so much. After we'll say a few weeks of getting the mind to muscle connection during a squat, the overactive muscles at the front of the body won't have to work as hard, because you've worked so hard on getting the back of the muscle groups working of your body, that they're kicking in quicker from a nervous ending point of view. The nerves twitch the muscle groups, and once we get the nerve endings up in a healthy way in the weak muscle groups, you're strengthening the brain neurons in the brain, that when we do a squat, the brain remembers, oh yeah, the glutes are working here during the squat, let's go. Not the quads, not the IT band, not the knees. And that requires somebody showing you how to do an exercise correctly in a slow, controlled manner. That also involves you getting into your head in a good way, a mindfulness way, not thinking about anything else that's going on in the outside of the world, and really zoning in and really focusing in on what muscle group should I be feeling here, and visualize those squats, visualize those glutes working as you're releasing the squat down and as you're driving the squat up to standing position. And the more times you visualize and get into that muscle group in your head and visualize blood going to the nerve endings of that muscle group, eventually after a while then you're going to take the pressure off the front. So that's mind to muscle connection. Why am I talking about this? Because age-related changes in the muscle are these. Muscle loses size and strength as we get older, which can contribute to fatigue, weakness, and reduced tolerance to exercise. So obviously, with age, we lose some muscle mass. If we lose some muscle mass, we lose our stamina. If we lose our stamina, we lose the want to do anything. And then we're like, oh, I'm just tired, I won't bother. You know, that's because we naturally lose muscle mass as we get older. So it's vital that you keep some form of resistance training into your routine to keep your muscles strong and the fibers and the cells constantly renewing themselves. So this is caused by a number of, muscle loss is caused by a number of factors working in combination, including muscle fibers reduce in number and shrink in size as we get older. Muscle tissue is replaced more slowly. Lost muscle tissue is replaced then with a tough fibrous tissue. So I'll repeat that again. Muscle tissue is replaced more slowly, and lost muscle tissue is replaced with a tough fibrous tissue, which means your muscles can shrink and tighten up and pull on the joints and cause joint pain. Changes in the nervous system also causes muscle to have reduced tone and ability in contract. So this is why it's vital now, guys, especially my new members or anyone listening to this. If you're 35, 40 onwards, it is vital that you keep your nervous system healthy as you're conducting exercise. Now, we can have our nervous system turned on in a negative way through stress. I'll talk about that again, like constant day-to-day stress, and it nearly has our nervous system shot and we get ran down. But I'm on about the nerve endings, the tip of the nerve endings in the glutes, the tip of the nerve endings in the calf muscles. I'm on about the nerve endings that are sleepy from disuse. I'm on about waking up those nerve endings during exercise. This is what this podcast is about. So you can keep your muscles strong and healthy for as long as we possibly can, the muscles that we have. So age-related changes in bone. Bone is actually living tissue, did you know? And it constantly renews itself every day. There's enzymes in the bone tissue that renew the bone every day. And people don't believe that. But I think people think the bone is like a steel bar, that if it gets wet, it just, after a while, it just gets rusty and just breaks down. And sure, that's it now. We're 70 years of age and the bone is rusted and we can't do anything about it, because you can't rejuvenate steel, but your bone is constantly rejuvenating itself every day. And if we're not using our body from a form of exercise point of view and feeding our body well, how is our bone tissue going to rejuvenate correctly to its optimal best every day? It won't be able. So bone is a living tissue. As we age, the structure of the bone changes and this results in loss of bone tissue. Low bone mass means bones are weaker and places people at risk of breaks from a sudden bump or fall, especially from the age of 60 onwards. Bones become less dense as we age for a number of reasons, including, and this is important, an inactive lifestyle causes bone wastage. Inactive lifestyle causes bone wastage. Sitting at your desk, not moving, not doing anything, maybe just walking around the house all day. That's not good enough, guys. That is not good enough. If you want to enjoy your pension age, because you have to be thinking of your future self, and I have to bring in a bit of negativity into this, because we are ran by the amygdala, fear-based, and sometimes our goals are ran by fear-based in the amygdala. The amygdala is the part of our brain that steers you. It's basically the fear. Don't touch the fire there. You've already burnt yourself once. You know. So if you can think of your future self in a positive and a negative way, if you think of your future self and going, yeah, if I walk for 15 minutes every day, do 2 to 3 resistance training sessions a week, stretch, feed myself well from a functional nutrition point of view, and still have fun and enjoy myself, my 8-year-old self is going to be like, high five, Karina. Now look at it in a negative way. If I sat down at the desk all day, and I know this is my job, but even when this wasn't my job, I was still doing exercise from a head point, mindset point of view, because it made me feel good. But now I'm doing it from a health point of view, which is so much more positive. If my 8-year-old self was looking at me not moving, sitting down at a desk all day, killing myself doing cardio exercises and not really looking after my strength and my flexibility and my bone health and not looking after my food and my sleep, my 8-year-old self be looking at me now going, forget it, you might as well start buying your coffin now and start picking out what colour you want and get the plot that you want, because that's where you're going earlier than you expected. So that's what my 8-year-old self will be saying to me. So getting back to age-related changes in bones. Hormonal changes in women, menopause especially, triggers the loss of minerals in bone tissue. In men, the gradual decline in sex hormones lead to later development of osteoporosis. So we kind of want to avoid that as well. So men, maybe, you know, your exercise can be a bit of getting the leg over and a bit of a jump as well and keeping the exercise going there. Who knows? But men and women, it's important to keep strength and movement and good functional nutrition coming in. Bones also lose calcium and other minerals, which causes the bones to become weak and brittle. Age-related changes in joints. So these are the three main things that we need to focus on with exercise and nutrition when it comes to our later years, is what I spoke about there, age-related change in muscles, age-related change in bone, and age-related change in joints. In a joint, bone do not directly contact each other. So that's good to know. So the joint is there to stop the bones from being directly in contact with each other. If the bones get direct in contact with each other, it would be pretty sore. So the joints, they are cushioned by, the bones are cushioned by cartilage that lines your joints, and membranes around the joints, and a lubricating fluid inside your joints. As you age, joint movement becomes stiffer and less flexible because of the amount of lubrication fluid inside your joints decreases, and the cartilage becomes thinner. Ligaments also tend to shorten and lose some flexibility, making joints feel stiff. Many of these age-related changes to joints are caused by lack of exercise. Movement to the joint and the associated stress of movement helps keep the fluid moving. Being inactive causes the cartilage to shrink and stiffen, reducing joint mobility. So the key point here, guys, I'm trying to make is, it is key that you exercise to keep those three elements, those three important elements of your body healthy and strong going into our later years, which is muscle, bone, and joints. Physical activity can 100% help. Exercise can prevent many age-related changes to muscle, bone, and joints, and reverse these changes as well. And that's the key point, because old research suggested that you couldn't reverse age-related diseases like in the joints and the muscles and the bones. But now you can. It's never too late to start living an active lifestyle and enjoying the benefits of it. Research shows that exercise can make bone stronger and help slow the rate of bone loss. If done correctly, I mean not doing loads and loads of HIIT exercises. The prescriptive exercise I would recommend for people would be walk for 15 minutes minimum every day out in daylight to get your vitamin D. do 2 to 3 resistance training sessions a week. If you make 2 and your third exercise session is flexible and a stretch out, brilliant. Make sure you look after your cardiovascular system as well, which means you're making yourself work from a lung point of view, going up and down hills, maybe walking a little bit faster and all that jazz. But it's really important when you do resistance training that you do it slow and controlled and consistent, not looking for push, 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 push with heavy, 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 heavy weights all the time. It's good to challenge yourself, but it's also good to slow down and get the mind to muscle connection so you work each muscle group correctly and you don't overuse some muscle groups and cause injuries down the line. So research also shows that, especially when it comes to physical exercise and how it can help in the older years, research also states that older people can increase muscle mass and strength through muscular strengthening activities. Balance and coordination exercises, such as Pilates and such as going slow with your exercise and your resistance training and Tai Chi, can help the risk of falls. So it's really important that you work on your balance and your coordination as well. Physical exercise, physical activity in later life may delay the progression of osteoporosis as it slows down the rate of which bone mineral density is reduced. Weight-bearing exercises such as walking and weight training is the best type of exercise for maintenance of bone mass. There is a suggestion that maybe rotation movements as well, where the muscle attachment pulls on the bone, are also beneficial. Older people who exercise in water, actually, which is non-weight-bearing, may still experience increase in bone and muscle mass compared to sedentary older people. Stretching is another excellent way to maintain your flexibility. So again, but also it's good to note that see your doctor before you start any new physical program. If you haven't exercised in a long time and you are elderly and you have chronic disease such as arthritis, your doctor or your physiotherapist or your exercise therapist can help tailor a program for you and that'll best suit you so you don't suffer from any more pain and you learn how to use each muscle group correctly. So what I would say there, guys, is I ask my clients, have you done a DEXA scan recently? And definitely over the age of 40, you definitely need a DEXA scan. A DEXA scan puts you just lying down and it's like an X-ray to look at your bone density. You can also get one done for body composition, which looks at your visceral fat, the health of your muscle, how much muscle is on your body comparing to body fat, all of that jazz. If you have health insurance, it's covered under that. If you're looking to get one of those scans done, I would ask for a DEXA scan that includes body composition as well as bone density. Why do you want body composition, they may ask? Because they don't want you to be using this in your health insurance, or maybe they just don't provide it. Because I want a full overall picture of my visceral fat around my organs. I want an overall picture of my muscle to my body fat ratio. I want to know how healthy my bone, my muscle health is. So I want the 360. Just ask for it. You're paying for it, ask for it. You're looking for a DEXA scan for your bone and body composition. I use a scale here with my clients that does body composition. It looks at visceral fat. It looks at their fat on their body compared to their muscle mass on their body compared to their fat. And we do that through an app, which gives them a better understanding. It's not 100% accurate like a DEXA scan, but it's pretty close, but it gives them an overall view of the weight in their body, their bone density, their visceral fat, which is fat around your organs, their muscle mass to their body fat, which is great, because then they're just not looking at a number. Because what's a number going to tell you on the scale? Nothing. It's going to tell you your overall body weight. But that overall body weight depends on, did you have a bowel movement today? Are you holding extra water? Is it your period? Are you stressed? Did you have a bad night's sleep? It's not telling you the muscle ratio to fat, which is really important, and the amount of fat around your organs, which is really important. It's not telling you your metabolic age, which is really important. DEXA scan and a body composition DEXA scan tells you this. Good weighing scales like I have as well tells you this also. So the point I'm trying to make here is, guys, is you need to tailor your workouts when it comes to, you need to tailor your workouts when it comes to a certain point of life, especially midlife, 40 onwards, and even before 40, please don't wreck yourself in loads of, I'm not ditching CrossFit or anything like that, but like, guys, I've clients who are 30 years of age coming to me and they have bulging discs in their back because it's related to desk jobs, the posture at the desk, and then going into CrossFit style large group classes with 30 people in it and only two instructors watching them, doing like overhead presses with 20 kg barbells and nobody watching them, that they're leaning back onto their posterior chain, which is your kinetic chain, which is your spine, which these clients already have bad posture as it is. They have tight hips. They have an excessive curve in their lower back, which means they're going in and doing an overhead press of 20 kg and they're leaning back into their back, which is causing more damage on the lower spine, which could cause a bulging disc. I have clients as young as 30 coming into me. I've clients online telling me that they're 22 and 25 with possible bulging discs in their back because of posture, and then going into exercise classes and not doing exercise correctly and not being shown how to do it. So my point to the podcast is, please, when you're doing exercises, slow down during the exercise. If so, look, what job are you in? Are you a nurse? Are you hanging over beds all day? Is your posture poor? If your posture is poor, it's your responsibility that when you're doing exercise to slow down, get the mind to muscle connection, maybe hire a coach one-to-one for a few sessions just to show you how to do things correctly, so you know then from your point of view how to do it. And sometimes it's not your fault, guys. And sometimes it's not the instructor's fault. That if an instructor shows a client what to do, and I see it myself here, this is why I regularly check in with my clients all the time. I could show them how to do a particular exercise. They know what muscle groups it should be working. But then after a while, if I'm not watching them and correcting them more, they fall back to their default setting, which is using the muscles that were overactive at the beginning, i.e. during a squat, they're using the quads at the front and they're using their knees rather than using their glutes, their hamstrings, and their shoulder blades and their abs. They just fall back to their default if somebody's constantly not saying, hey, back into your bum, remember, get the mind to muscle connection, imagine you're picking up the golf ball, knees out on the heels. I'm constantly repeating myself, and I really don't mind because it works for my clients. And sometimes clients are like, she's repeating herself again. But I'm like, but then after a while, they're like, oh, now I know why you're constantly talking to your exercise, Karina, because you're constantly looking, constantly correcting. And that's the job. Okay, right. Muscle and bone conditions in your older years, guys. So this is what we're trying to avoid. And I'm finishing the podcast then. And your exercise should match this. As in, taking it slow with your resistance training. Don't be push with your resistance training, looking for heavy weights all the time. Because where do you go after you lift heavy weights? Where do you go if you reached 100 kg deadlift and you're 50 years of age? Where do you go from there? Do you go to 200 and then risk of bulging disc and risk of injury? No. And any PT or any fitness professional listening to this that may be starting off in your early career, do not push your clients to that point. You get so far with weights and then you detrain. You detrain and come back down and train differently again. Maybe go high reps, light weights. Train differently. Mix up your program that you're not pushing all the time to lift heavy, heavy weights, because that's not going to do your client justice. You're going to get so far and you're definitely going to create injuries. And this is what we're trying to avoid in our later years, are these disabilities. Because these disabilities are caused by disuse of your body, inactivity. So here we go. Nearly half the population over the age of 75 years of age have some kind of disability, and common conditions affecting muscle and the skeleton or the muscular skeletal system in older people include osteoarthritis. What's that? Now, I did all this in college, guys, and I'm sure I wasn't even half listening because it didn't relate to me back then, because I was like, oh, I'm miles away from that. Sure, I'll never have osteoarthritis. Sure, I'll never have osteoporosis. Sure, I'll never have rheumatoid arthritis. I'll never had that. I'll never had osteomalacia, or whatever it's called here, where the bone becomes soft. Sure, that was me back in the day, where now I'm like, right, we need to zone in on this because it's important. So osteoarthritis is when the cartilage within the joints breaks down, causing pain and stiffness. It's really, really, really painful when people get that. Osteomalacia is the bones become soft due to problems with the metabolism of vitamin D. So when we can't metabolize vitamin D properly, and needs calcium for that as well, when we can't metabolize vitamin D into the bones properly, they can become really soft and cause, a lot of problems in our older years, wheelchair problems in our older years. That's not what we want. osteoporosis is where the bone, you lose bone mass really and it becomes brittle. You're more than likely going to have a fracture and a bone breakage when that happens. And as you know now, if you start to get osteopenia, which is the start of osteoporosis, you know, it's really time to pull up your socks then and start pulling back and looking at your exercise and looking at your diet. Looking at your exercise, start doing weight bearing exercise, start walking. Looking at your diet, reducing the sugar and reducing the alcohol, reducing the stress and getting amino acids into you and getting good quality food into you. It is important. Rheumatoid arthritis is inflammation of the joints, which is really, 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 really sore. Again, you know, caused by inactivity, caused by a really poor diet, too much inflammatory foods coming into the body, sugar, salt, alcohol, stress. You know, you don't want to get any of these guys. And some people have all of these in their later years and they're in wheelchairs. And you're in the nursing home, and I see it in the nursing home because my brother is a year younger than me, he's 39, completely disabled from a car crash, constant 24-hour care. And I, every, it's not often I go down to the nursing home because it's not often I'm in Galway because I get quite triggered down there. And when I do walk around the nursing home, I'm looking going, Jesus Christ, like this could be me in 40 years time. And there's people lying in the beds with the doors open and they cannot move. And you can smell the urine. Now they do a great job down there. But you can, like if someone's sitting there and pee and they can't talk and they're waiting for the nurse to come around, you can smell the urine. You can smell the toilet coming from their bed. Like, that's not what you want, guys. And most of these people would have had this from not inactivity or maybe having a really stressful job and going into workouts then and bringing that stress into your workouts and not doing the workouts correctly and constantly pushing within the workouts and injuring yourself, causing poor cartilage, causing brittle bones, and then not eating properly down top of it and having a lifestyle that's crazy down top of it and not repairing back properly, not recovering back properly. These people who worked all their life, giving to the workforce all their life in their career, is now trying to enjoy their pension age with pain. Rheumatoid arthritis, osteopenia, osteoporosis, osteoarthritis, all of these weakness in the muscles and pain. And all of this is coming from inactive movement, inactivity and stress on the body, or doing exercise and stressing out the body too much, doing exercise incorrectly. So Jesus, 42 minutes of the podcast, better stop now. So the point I'm trying to make is, guys, if you've stuck it this far, well done and fair play to you. I do talk a lot. I kind of tried to follow a script there for my first time ever in a podcast. And even though I followed the script, I still go off point a little bit. Anyway, let's summarize. At least half of the age of related changes in muscle, bone and joints are caused by disuse. And you have to look at the flip side. People who are in exercise programs that just don't suit their age bracket and where they're at right now, and they're push, heavy, hit, the joints are getting hit. You guys really need to look at your exercise routine and really need to start thinking about changing it up and start looking at building up your each muscle group as a prescriptive form exercise, slowing down and getting mind-to-muscle connection and doing each exercise separately, squat, lunge, triceps and all that jazz, and building up the mind-to-muscle connection, because you can also cause issues there as well. And always consult your doctor before you start an exercise routine. And if you're unsure, go do yourself a favor, go get a DEXA scan. But anyone that's listening to this and they're my clients and you're new, please slow down during the exercises. Please leave your troubles at the door. You know, when people walk into me and when people turn on my routines and exercise online, if we're doing live or whatever, it's game time. We're on. It's showtime. And showtime means you're giving yourself 30 to 45 minutes of working on yourself, not the kids, not your job, not anybody else. You leave all of those issues at the door. And the minute you press play, or you come into me one-to-one, or you come into me face-to-face, we are on. We are thinking about you and your muscles and your bone health and nothing else. What muscle groups are we working? Slowing down your breath. Slowing down the exercise. Mindful movements is what we're doing. And if you're coming from a space of punishment with exercise because you're trying to de-stress, or maybe you're punishing yourself from an old diet culture way of view, that you had a really heavy weekend out socializing, so now you're going to punish yourself with exercise and sweat because that's fat crying, I used to be that personal trainer. Fat's crying, guys. Come on. Let's push, push, push. Let's kill you. So when you leave the class, you feel so exhausted that you think that you did a good job. Nope, we're not doing that anymore. That is a form of self-sabotage. And you are not, your 8-year-old self is tutting at you right now. Like my 8-year-old self would have been tutting at me in my early 30s going, come on, guys, fat is crying and all this jazz. The more you sweat, the more you burn. Nope, we're not doing that anymore. We're doing slow, mindful movements. We're building you up and not tearing you down anymore. And that is the message that I'm trying to get across in this 45-minute podcast. So if you listened that far, well done. So that's what we're trying to do. Build you up and not tear you down. And we're looking for slow, consistent movement every day and every week, not killing yourself. And even if you're training for half a marathon or a marathon or 10K or a quest like my some of my clients are doing, we're not showing up to be an athlete in this area. We're showing up to do what we can do with the energy that we have and not to be pushing yourself to the point where you're going to be physically ill, physically sick or physically injured, even if you are training for half a marathon. It's all about enjoying the half marathon, not aiming to do it at a certain time, but enjoying it for what it is and finish the marathon without any injuries. Even if it takes you 4 hours, it doesn't matter. I never go into Anthem for time. And when I do, I always get my best time. But I do it to finish it, to enjoy the experience and to listen to my body and know that my body can finish it and I'm not going to wreck my body. And that's my message that I wanted to get across to you guys, because your 8-year-old self will thank you for it. Guys, if someone needs to listen to this podcast, or if you think someone will benefit from it, you have my full permission to share. Again, by leaving a review on my podcast, if you listen to my podcast and you got some worth out of it, regardless of whatever podcast you listen to it on platform, whether it's Apple, Spotify, Twitch, there's loads of stuff out there. I don't even know where it goes to half the time. It goes to 9 platforms. If you have time to leave a quick review, that would be amazing, because it helps other people hear the podcast that need to listen to it as well. Any of my clients, well done for taking the steps to a healthier, happier, stronger, more fitter version of you. Anyone that's listened to this and wants to maybe start working with me, reach out to me on Instagram, ecofitness, ecofitness_.ie, or all you have to do is Google Corina Duffy, K-O-R-I-N-A, ecofitness, and it'll pop up. Reach out to me, drop me a message, drop me a WhatsApp or whatever. I'll leave my WhatsApp there as well. And you can reach out to me and we will go from there and get a plan of action going for you. Apart from that, have a great day.